kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 34, Psalm 34 and verses 4 to 7. Psalm 34, verses 4 to 7. And I want us to glean from a few of these verses today to encourage us in the faith. And we're calling our teaching today, Will We Go Back Because of Fear? Will we go back because of fear? Psalm 34 and verses 4 to 7. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encompasses all around those who fear him and delivers them. Quite a lot in this, but this is a psalm about those who are joyful, blessed and happy, who trust in the Lord. In other words, who have faith in God. Now, I believe something that we are going to learn, if we haven't learned already, that the deeper life teaching, which was very much based on faith, believing the promises of God, was for a purpose, not only bringing us back to believing, trusting, walking by faith, but that faith will deal with unbelief and will deal with fear. Because if faith is not present in our faith, our confession, our walk with God, we will always compromise. We will always turn to the world for security. And God knows this. God has made no mistake how he teaches us by the Holy Spirit, and he's always challenging, he's always getting to our faith so that we are standing on believing ground. That is why we walk by faith every day, why the Lord tarries, and we don't walk by sight. Let's just remind ourselves again of the teachings that we've had over the years with regard to faith. The reason that we walk by faith is so that we do not trust or rely on feelings and emotions that change like the wind. The world out there is governed by their emotions, their feelings, by what they see, what they hear. And this is why you get the reactions that you do. The Holy Spirit has come not only saving us, making us a new creation, but he's come to teach us to rely totally upon God, his grace, his mercy, above all on the revelation of his word. And in time, when we stay with this, we depend on this, we rely upon this, we settle to the fact that God does not make a mistake, we start to realize that something wonderful and great begins to work and take over in our life. And it's called faith. And we know it because the signs of the fruit of faith is we rest in God. He gives us that peace, that assurance. that whatever is happening, whatever the circumstances, his presence, his peace, his word, his love, everything that he is anchoring us. In other words, if the storms are there, if the earthquakes are there, something greater within our heart is supporting and anchoring us. You see, it's not just a question of talking about faith and preaching about faith. God has provided his very presence, his very power within our lives to anchor us in the storms, to anchor us so that we can draw our strength from God through the Holy Spirit. Whatever we are seeing, whatever we're hearing, whatever is around us. Because so often, you know as well as I do, we are surrounded with the negative. We are surrounded with everything that is opposite to this walk of faith. And we know the powers of darkness, they are trying to use all of that to trip us, to trick us, to cause us to compromise or to go back or whatever. Something we must learn, brothers and sisters, that when we wake up each day, this is the day I walk with God by faith. You cannot bring yesterday back, or last week, or last year. That is history. It is water now gone under the bridge. But I can walk this day by faith with God, even if it's just a mustard seed of faith, that is enough for me to walk this day by faith with God. Let tomorrow, next month, or a year down the line, if the Lord tarries, leave that with God. God has not saved you or I to concern ourselves about tomorrow or next year. Let us learn, let us experience God for this day. For this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We must learn this because this will deal with those fears the enemy tries to work upon. He tries to get us to think in the future. He tries to get us to plan for the future. And he does that because he's tricking us. He's beguiling us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we want to know about the future. We want to know what tomorrow is going to hold for me, or next month, or whatever it is. He knows our weaknesses. That is what the fallen world has done. That is what sin had done in our lives, making us independent of God until God had mercy upon us and saved us. And all of that changes. And I have learned something over the years to deal with the unbelief and the fears that I have battled in my life. And believe me, I have had them. But I have settled this, that I live this day, walk with God, and he has given me the grace, the faith to be able to walk this day, and I have to leave the rest of it to the mercy of God. Because I know that deals with the weaknesses in my life. You see, brothers and sisters, we are living in times where fear is at its highest level. It probably is going to get worse, but we are living in times of fear and confusion that it is at its highest level. This world, sadly, is a dangerous place. How this must grieve our Heavenly Father will never understand. He never created this world for an existence like that. He created this world for blessing, to glorify His name. He put man, He put us into this world to bless us, to enjoy His presence, to walk in perfect harmony and unity. There was no such idea of fear. There wasn't even the conception of it until man sinned. And the first thing that entered into man was fear. And what did that fear do? That fear caused them both to hide from God. That was never meant to be. Can you imagine your child, whom you love, which is a blessing from the Lord, continually tries to hide from you, is fearful of you? Any average, normal, balanced parent would be grieved by that. So that just gives us a little understanding of how grieved our Heavenly Father must have felt when Adam and Eve hid from Him. But like God is merciful and gracious, He's always one step ahead, and He provided a covering for not only that sin, but that fear also. You see, we see nothing today but fear attacking in the family life. Fear attacks with our jobs. Fear attacks with our marriages, our children. Fear attacks just coping with modern day pressures. The bills that come in to be paid. Fear tries to work on our health. And we know that there are strong demonic forces behind cancer. And we know that the powers of darkness are working overtime, trying to inflict man, opening his mind to fear, to disease, to sickness. We know the battle that we have in the mind. We've taught much on that over the years. As I've said, the world now, sadly, is a dangerous place to live in. But thank God for the good news of the gospel. Jesus is coming soon. And He's coming to put down His enemies, and the very devil himself, to establish and bring back peace, harmony, the paradise conditions. This is why the gospel is such a good news, and why we hold on to it and we proclaim it and share it boldly, because that world out there now is a dangerous place, and people, their hearts are failing them because of fear. Satan knows fear will lead to anxiety, to depression, suicide. He knows that because it's in man's heart to search for God, he's looking to fill up that area in him, in his heart. And so the enemy knows to lead them into false religions and cults and so on, fear again, or just simply running away as though the grass is going to be greener on the other side, and it isn't. All of these are expressing what fear does. And the very thing that Jesus has come to dispel and to deal with. And this is why when we look in this wonderful psalm here, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And what did he do? He delivered me from just some of my fears. Not at all. He delivered me from all my fears. Notice it's in the plural. I've always said that it's not just fear. There are many fears that work. You may not fear something in your life, whereas your brother or sister does. Because the enemy's attacked us in different ways. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where to get in. But what does the psalmist say? I sought the Lord. And so as we seek him daily, as we walk each day with him, we have that assurance that he hears us. Because that's why we've taught you faith. And the deeper life for that very purpose, that when you open your mouth, when you talk to God, when you confess those promises, you have the assurance he has heard you. For the very purpose to deliver you from all your fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Why? So he says he's speaking of those who seek the Lord, who are being delivered from fears. He's saying there is something radiant about them. There is a confidence about them. Their faces shine with the love of God. In other words, what he's saying is, I don't see fear with them. They're not running away. There's a boldness about them. This poor man, verse 6, it says, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and deliver them. So look at the radiance, look at the example the house of God has when it stands fearlessly in the presence of God. People see it. People are aware, particularly now as they're becoming so oppressed in fear. And haven't we seen it through this plague? The fear. But as we stand confidently, fearless, walking by faith, they see it. And this poor man has obviously seen this. And he cries out to the Lord. And guess what? The Lord hears him and saves him and delivers him from all his troubles, his trials. In other words, he's delivering him from fear. Why? Because the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and deliver him. So in other words, the fear of God enables God to give his angels charge over us. We know it. Psalm 91. That's why the fear of the Lord is good. Because it protects us. It preserves us. It keeps us delivered from fear, which will otherwise always cause us to compromise. God knows. He knows far better than we do. He knows what he's doing, and that's why he allows us to be in impossible situations in the natural. As it goes on in verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. And he goes on, we're like the young lions and so on. So it's good. We can't go wrong in this. Whatever your circumstances, however big the mountains are, and we've all got them, we can glean such encouragement and comfort from all of this as we taste and see that the Lord is good. So there it is. There's the experience, not just words on a page, but tasting of all of this, that the Lord is good. And blessed are you who trust in him. There it goes again. Faith, trust. Those who fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. In other words, you will lack for nothing. If you fear the Lord, he's going to provide. He's going to meet every bill. He's going to meet every need, every practical need. Whatever your circumstances, he has promised. Little wonder the enemy attacks like he does with such promises that God has given us in his word. You see, God was trying to teach the children of Israel in the wilderness this very principle. He was trying to show them that the wilderness, yes, it was a dangerous place to take a nation to. You would never take even your own family into a wilderness, into a desert. For a number of reasons. Not only is it dry, barren, no water, but you can so easily get lost in the wilderness. And there's no provision. Just scorching heat. Nowhere to get into shade or whatever. So God had a reason why he took a nation into the desert, into the wilderness. Because he was going to teach them that he is the provider, that he will look after them. And yes, there were times where they were tested for food. Tested in many, many ways. But God always came up and he had the answer. God gave them water when it was difficult to find. God preserved them from their enemies when they had to fight, when they tried to come and destroy them and so on. He was teaching them his faithfulness. But we know they would have none of it. In other words, what Israel was saying, I do not like this wilderness walk. I find it offensive. It is not what I want. And I want to go back to Egypt. Whatever you say. That's really what was coming out of their hearts. Failing to see that they would perish. Because they had not learnt the fear of God. What is the fear of God? The fear of God is that when you read the Bible, you read the scriptures, you read that they perished in the wilderness, it means exactly what it says. Man will try and water it down. Oh, well, God wasn't really like that. He was just saying that just to frighten them or to get them to obey. No, 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 no. The fear of God is when you do not try and change the word of God. What God says is what he does. And when you get that from your head to your heart, you are then started to learn the fear of God. Of God, because that is what causes us to go on and not go back. Timothy has something to say about this. We know this very well, but turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 9. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. If ever there was a portion of Scripture that is speaking right now, it is certainly this. And you all know it, but we're going to look at it again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. But know this. Now, just those three words. We so often can miss that and start to really get into what he's talking about. But he starts off, he says, but know this. In other words, what he is saying is, I want you to get this in your heart. This is not just something we're talking about. This is absolutely vital that you understand and know and appreciate what is being said here. That in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Well, we have seen a great emphasis over the last 30 odd years or more of self-promotion, building the self-image, where man now is so consumed in self. And the devil has played to that. And we now see, sadly, in this last generation, young people who are utterly consumed in self and all these selfies that they take with their phones and so on. And the enemy is going to use that. And we have seen, you saw that video that was sent out of these giants that they're going to put out. They're probably in spirit, the Nephilim, spiritually speaking. But we know that there are 21 of these being made that are going out to the four corners of the earth that stand very, very tall. And these giants can change into different images and people and so on. And you can even put your selfie up there as well. And not only that, it can speak and move. And most probably, from what we're looking on that, that is where possibly it's a type of where the image of the beast will be put up around the world. And when that goes up, everyone must bow down and worship the image. We see how the stage is being set, brothers and sisters, and how they're using this technology and will use it. For men will be lovers of themselves. So in other words, man has become so idolatrous that it would be no problem them bowing the knee to some other person. They will be lovers of money. There is the corruption that is taking place in the world now. People live for money because they're lovers of themselves. They want things always for themselves. And we see that corruption that is now in industry, in commerce, in banking, you name it, it's everywhere. It's called greed. And that is why the world economies will finally tumble and fall at the end times. Why? Because they become lovers of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. That is what the Word of God tells us. Money is not evil. God permits it and allows it as legal tender. It's the love, the lust of it that is evil. They will be boasters and proud. Well, there we are. We see the arrogance and pride now everywhere. You see it in all walks of life, and you see it, sadly, in governments and leadership. blasphemers. We know what that is now. Our Lord's name is so often used in swearing and cursing. Disobedient to parents. Young people don't have respect for parents or grandparents. It's all gone, most of it. They're unthankful, unholy. In other words, it's my rights. It's what is due to me. It's my inheritance. It's my human rights. And so people become unthankful. I spoke a few weeks about that. So all of that is online. Then unholy. That holiness, that modesty has gone. I couldn't believe my eyes the other day, but I drove through a town very near here, and there was a meeting on. This was in Ascot, where they have the race course there, and there was a meeting, race course meeting going on. There was lots of people, and being very hot, I saw some young people, probably about 18, 19, 20, something like that. They'd probably been drinking, and they were just going along the road, and they had hardly anything on them. It was actually embarrassing. And that came to my mind immediately. What is here? Just unholy. No modesty, such little dignity around today. And you know this, brothers and sisters. You don't have to look very far for this. It's in your neighbour. It's in your street. It's in your village where you live, sadly. So look at what Paul is saying here to Timothy. And he's saying at the beginning, I want you to know this. This is what's happening and will happen in the last days. Unloving, unforgiving. There we are. The love now has become surface, insular. This is why marriages don't last. Because they come together with the wrong values, the wrong motives, the wrong ideas. Unforgiving. That's everywhere now. Unforgiveness, resentment, slanders. Again, everywhere. This is why you can't believe a lot of things today. The slander, the criticism, the lies. This is why we have to be so discerning with the news that we hear now and the newspapers that we read. I would say just have great caution with all of this. You've got a society now without self-control. In other words, I want to do what I feel, what suits me, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. Brutal. Despisers of good. In other words, they don't like that which is godly, is good. To have respect, love, care for one another. They fight against all of that now. Traitors. Here we are, we're living in a world now where you betray one another, give one another away. Because there's not the love there anymore, the care. Headstrong. In other words, they can't be told, they can't be taught. I know it all. I know everything. You don't have to tell me. In other words, pride. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure. And so on. Rather than lovers of God. All these descriptions fit exactly what we see today, sadly, in man. But what is it talking to? It's also talking to the house of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such, turn away. So they look godly, they look Christian, but there's something that's lacking. They are not experiencing God. They're not experiencing the power of God preserving and keeping them, enabling them to walk by faith and not by sight. This is why I make so much about we have to experience God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And from such people turn away. And then it goes on about teachers and ministers do exactly the same, go away, and they start up these strange religions and cults and so on. The enemy knows where to attack. Do you know that we are the primary attack of the enemy? The world out there comes second. The house of God is where the enemy focuses all his time and attention, attacking. You see, we're not to fear man and his corrupt ways. We're told this very clearly in Proverbs 29. Let's look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. 29 verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. There we are. If we start to trust in man and the arm of the flesh, it's going to trap you. That's what it means. A snare. It's a trap. Now, what is the nature of a trap? Well, the nature of a trap is that it doesn't necessarily trap you straight away. It's subtle. It's hid. It's buried somewhere. And so when we start to trust in the arm of the flesh, we become aware there is a trap. There's something that's not right. And so we become a little fearful how we walk, how we tread, where we tread, because we are aware there's a snare. The enemy's got in. That's what it's meaning here when it says this. But it says the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. Come back to faith again. God moves heaven and earth for your mustard seed of faith. That is why it says, you will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Because God moves heaven and earth when he sees faith in our lives. That is why this is so important. That is why any obstacle you are facing will be conquered. And we're all of us facing obstacles in FGA, or all those who listen to this teaching. If you're not, then there's something wrong. But we are. We're all of us facing obstacles. And God says they will be cast into the sea if we trust him. To fear God is more important than to fear man. Let's turn also to Luke 12. Luke 12, verses 4 to 7. Luke 12, verses 4 to 7. Here is where Jesus teaches the fear of God. He's already taught about the hypocrites, the religious leaders. Now he's teaching here about the fear of God. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Now, Jesus means exactly what he says there. You've got your liberals today who will try and water that down, but he means what he says. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Again, he's making a point to enable and help us to walk by faith so that it deals with this fear and this unbelief. What is our confession? Well, we know this very, very well. We recite it. You know it in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now, he could just say enough there. Well, God has not given us a spirit of fear, and he hasn't. But he doesn't stop there. Very often the apostle wants to explain a bit more what he's saying. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So he says, what deals with that fear is the power of God, the power of the baptism of the Spirit, and that power that works love, the love of God, giving you a sound mind. That is what it does. That is what he's doing, for the very purpose that it deals with fear and unbelief. Because we know that the attacks are in the mind. And the battle is either won or lost in the mind. We see something else that's connected with the love of God. In 1 John 4 and verse 18. 1 John 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So there we are. That tells us if there's still fear in my life, I still have to be made perfect in love. God's love, so that I can love. It's not rocket science. It's absolutely easy what it says here. There's no fear in the love of in love, but perfect love casts out fear. In other words, God's love casts out that fear that hinders me from believing. Because fear involves torment. And that is why you've got so much mental oppression and problems today. It is absolutely epidemic now in people. Their minds are tormented. What is causing that torment? A lack of God in their lives and fear, confusion that is attacking. God always shows us what the root is. And that's why psychologists and psychiatrists are so blinded to all of this. And the only way they can keep it balanced is to suppress them with all this medication, that they become like zombies. It's tragic what is happening. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And that's where we have to be honest as Christians. If I'm still battling fear and unbelief, that is a sign I still need to be made perfect in God's love. And that's where you pray. That is where you seek God. That is a promise of God. Lord, I need to be made perfect. In other words, complete in your love. I'm still lacking. Please work that. Fill that up in my life for your glory. You know, and I know, and the demons know, that if you pray that before God, God will answer that prayer. Look how the enemy tries to keep us away from some of these basic promises in God's word. We love him because he what? First loved us. And that's what we always keep saying. You didn't love God first. God first loved you. So there we are. The very fact that we're here today, the very fact that we're listening to this sermon is a sign God first loved me. How could we not believe that? Hallelujah. You know, as I close with this, brothers and sisters, I believe there is going to come a fear on the world that is going to cause great confusion and panic. We are already seeing the signs of it, and it's increasing and it's getting worse. You know, I've often wondered, with the political scenery that we have around today and what we're looking at, I often wonder and raise this question, where does China fit into all of this? As I look into the scriptures, we're very aware what it speaks of in Ezekiel of Gog and Magog. We know that that speaks of, certainly of Russia and possibly Turkey and few other Middle Eastern countries. But we're not sure about China. We're not sure where China fits in somehow. It's always slightly nebulous with regard to that. And this is why I believe the Lord had us to pray for a season last year, if you remember, for China, getting in warfare, getting into warfare against China and the way it works. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Chinese people. Many of them are lovely people. It's the Chinese Communist Party that's the evil. I believe the Holy Spirit has revealed something to me. I believe that China, and this is why it is so serious, is infiltrated around the world globally. It has subtly, like a serpent, got in to every nation and has got involved, has brought up various things in a nation because of its wealth, industry, land, and so on, houses. We know it, we've heard about it. So it's very subtly worked behind the scenes in a global level to control. And that is why we are facing and we're seeing before our eyes China's next big move is to try and bring the US down. It has become apparent that China is behind this plague, COVID. It has come from their labs. It is probably deliberate. It is all part to weaken the world, to weaken security, police, army, and so on. We're seeing it unfolding before our eyes, the powers of darkness. And this is why I believe we need to be in prayer and spiritual warfare. And this is why God burdened me last year, or over a year ago, 18 months ago, kept getting me to pray for China. Pray, just keep praying, going warfare. You know, because we spent some 3-4 months on this. And some of us have wondered, well, what was that really all about? You know, we did all of that and so on. I think we're beginning to see now. We're beginning to have our eyes open, because God doesn't make a mistake. He sees what the powers of darkness are up to. We don't see it like he sees. But he has given us the Holy Spirit, and he has given us the authority in Christ's name to war, to deal, to bind the strong man. In other words, to put those spiritual handcuffs upon the powers of darkness for a season. Because China is involved pretty well globally around the world. And what we have become aware of is she's going to try and divert the world's attention by a war with Thailand, probably, so that we can be averted from seeing what is really going on. Very clever and very cunning. And that typifies the powers of darkness. But God always has us one step ahead, because he brings darkness out into the light. And I'm sharing this with you because to continue to pray, brothers and sisters, to keep in spiritual warfare. I believe that is what we are facing now in this situation. We could well have a war looming shortly. They want to bring the US down. That is their big enemy. For what purpose? To control the world. And we have seen already how they have tried to control through this pandemic. Governments around the world are scared of admitting and coming out in the open what I am saying to you today. There you are. What holds them is fear. And what is fear? It is torment. And what is torment? Confusion. And that is what you see today globally in governments around the world. It is not rocket science to work it out. But praise God, the Lord has delivered us from all of that, has he not? And as he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, you first loved us. And your love is so great, so abounding, so rich in mercy, that it drives and casts out all that fear and unbelief. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this. We stand firm in you, and you are perfecting us in your love. So there's no room for fear and unbelief and confusion. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this. Thank you, Lord, for the healing and deliverance in this teaching today. I know that we will go away different people to when we arrived earlier today, because you have touched us in the inner man. Father, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. May they always keep their eye firmly fixed upon you and upon your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You would have me,
or disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.